Welcome to this sermon from Christ Church. Have your Bible ready, and let's begin.
Hey, well, it's so good to be with you here today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for what you do at our church. I was just thinking, I came to Christ in Christ Church when I was in high school, and I heard Doc preach the gospel, first time I ever heard it. I was like, man, Jesus died for my sins. That's amazing. And God used that, and it's been just one of the greatest blessings of my life to be part of this church, to see what God has done. And I know so many of you would probably say the same thing, but it's because of your leadership that's possible. And it gets me excited to think about all the lives that Christ is going to touch in these coming years and all the futures that he's going to change, and it's going to be through you. So give yourself another round of applause, because we appreciate you. Well, like Jovan said today, I want to talk about what our main goal and focus is for this coming year. I want to challenge you as leaders in our church with this idea of discipling a new leader in your ministry. But before we get into that, let's pray and ask God's blessing on our time. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for every leader in this room. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you've already done through our church. We give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. And Lord, now we just look forward to a greater work and a greater harvest that will glorify the name of Christ, Lord, and will be a powerful advancement of your kingdom. Bless us as leaders, Lord. Help us to be people who are engaged in making disciples. I pray it could make sense to us. I pray we could see a path we could walk on to do it. And Father, I pray that you would just use that to glorify your good name. And I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, a couple years ago, I was sitting in a class, and it was at Fort Jackson. I was just beginning to do some training with the military, and the class was all about what the mission of the Army is. That was the class, and we had to read all these really, really boring documents that, you know, are way too long and wordy and try to explain it. And so the instructor finally said, he said, look, you can just boil it down to two words. The whole mission of the Army, two words. And so he began to ask people and say, you know, what do you think those two words are? You know, and somebody's like, I don't know, kill people? not the brightest one in the class. I was kind of thinking more like look cool, because that felt right to me. And honestly, I had no idea what he was getting at, and people were trying to guess and figure it out, and, you know, as you can imagine, like, defend freedom. I thought, that one sounds pretty good, but wasn't the right answer either. And then he finally said, here's what it is. It's just these two words, take land. Take land. I thought, yeah, I never would have gotten that one. But he said that's the whole mission, is that you go in, you take, and you maintain land, and you protect it, you sort of are in charge of it. What you said, everything that the Army is built on, the main mission can just be summarized in those two words. Although there's all kinds of different jobs and different roles that people have within it, it's all for just that simple mission. And I thought, that's pretty interesting. And it kind of stuck with me. I don't remember anything else from that time, but I remember that. Because there's something powerful about a really clear mission, isn't there? That there's something that becomes easier to get behind with that kind of clarity. Now, when we think about the church, and if we were to do that same exercise, what is the mission of the church? If we could just boil it down to its very essence in two words, what might we say? And there's obviously a lot of components to the church, right? There's preaching, and there's music, and there's life groups, and there's children's ministry, and there's outreach ministry to the community, and there's counseling, and there's just all kinds of things. It's never ending. But at the end of the day, if we just had to say in two words, what is it all about? Here's what I think these two words would be. Make disciples. Say that with me. Make disciples. It makes sense, doesn't it? And here's the thing. This is a little bit easier to answer because Jesus actually tells us. You know, so you don't have to look too far. Remember Matthew 28 when Jesus was charging his followers, these early men that had followed him. What did he say? Go therefore and make disciples. Make disciples. That's what your mission is. He says, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I've taught you. And he said, I'll be with you until the end of the age. And so today, I want to talk about us focusing on that goal as ministry leaders. How can we do that? How can we reconnect with that? What does that look like for each of us to renew our commitment to making disciples and to doing it this year in our own ministry? Mike Breen, he's a pastor in London. He says this, if you make disciples, you will always get the church. If you make disciples, you will always get the church. But if you try to build the church, you'll rarely get disciples. Kind of interesting, isn't it? He says, if you're good at making disciples, you'll get more leaders than you know what to do with. And so today, when you think about your leadership, I want to encourage you to make that your mindset and your focus and your heart, that this year, I am going to lead in a way that makes disciples. We're going to just this year get back to the basics of what Christ is calling us to do. So here's the challenge. Here's the goal for you and the goal for me this year. That every one of us, very simple, that we would raise up one new disciple, one new leader in our ministry. And that we would equip them, we would train them, we would empower them to do what we do right now. And that we would help them to grow in Christ in this next year. And now there would be, in 2020, two people that are equipped to do the ministry that we're doing. That's the goal. Does that make sense? Are you willing to accept that challenge? No? Dead silence. Can I get a good amen out of you? Thank you. That's your goal. Now, I want to give you, in the remaining time, I want to just give you a very simple plan to do that. Because when you hear making disciples, it can kind of sound maybe really intimidating, really spiritual and overwhelming, but I believe it's probably a lot more simple than you think. And here's what I know for sure. Every one of us in this room can do it. Every one of us in this room can do it. You can do it. I can do it. We all can do it. You have the gifts, the experience, the opportunity, the ability. You just have to be willing to take it. So as a staff this year, we studied a book called Hero Makers. And it's a great read. I'd encourage you to check it out and read it. It's by Dave Ferguson. And he's a pastor in a Chicago area. And they have multiple campuses. Just an awesome, thriving church. And in the book Hero Makers, he gives these five steps to doing this very thing. To just raising up a new disciple, a new leader within your ministry. And what I like about these is they're real simple, they're practical, they kind of stick with you, help you remember it. So I want to share these five ideas with you as a way to equip you to do this. So here's what the first one is. He calls it, number one, multiplication thinking. Multiplication thinking. And he says, the common practice is leading until you've reached the limit of your time and energy. In other words, it's thinking about leadership just in terms of what I can do with the time and resources and gifts that I have. But multiplication thinking is about dreaming bigger than that. And it's saying, I don't just want to do ministry myself. I want to make, say it with me, make disciples. I want to help people grow in Christ, and I want to raise up new leaders for God's work. And so it's thinking about your ministry in a different way. And in the book, he challenges people to sort of dream a dream that's bigger than what you can do on your own. If our vision for our ministry is only as big as we are, that's not a disciple-making vision. That makes sense? Our vision should require more people and more leaders and have more space where people can step up and lead and use their gifts and grow in Christ and make a difference for good. And that starts with our own thinking about it different. My goal as a leader isn't just to do ministry to the capacity that I can do it, But my goal as a leader is to raise someone else up. You with me on that? That's multiplication thinking. How many people lead a life group? We have some life group leaders? Yeah. So that's a great opportunity to think this year. Who is someone I can invest in to co-lead with me, prepare them, and then maybe next year they can lead their own life group? That's more multiplication thinking. Not how can I lead my life group in a great way? We hope you do that. But more importantly, where we really add value is where we invite and empower someone else to do that, disciple them. You with me so far? So here's some ways just to do that. Is one of the prayers I've been saying that's been helpful to me as I think about this is I just keep saying, God, help me to serve your kingdom in the best way possible. And I've just been praying that. It's been a way to just recenter me on this reminder to make disciples, to empower people, to do the work of Christ that way. Dave Ferguson says, think bigger. What can God do through a multitude of empowered and unleashed leaders? So that's step number one. It's just about looking at what you do, but looking at it differently. Make sense? All right, step number two, he calls permission giving. Permission giving. And this is the idea of calling out the potential in people around you. And he has this really simple way of doing it that I really like. He calls it I-C-N-U conversations. Get it? I-C-N-U? Pretty clever. You're not as impressed with it as I was. But what he's saying is looking for people and spotting their potential and saying, you know what, I see that maybe you could be a great life group leader. I see in you an incredible heart for our kids. And I bet you would be an amazing large group teacher. You could just bring the truth of God to them in a way they would love and relate and connect to. And I would love to help you get there. It's an I see in you conversation where you're calling out the potential in them and you're inviting them to maybe think differently and better about themselves. And I believe there is so much potential in this church that is untapped. There are so many people, church, that they come here every single Sunday and they sit in the seats that we're sitting in, they sit at our other campuses, and they don't see it in themselves yet. And maybe you know what that's like because you've been there. Someone had to call it out of you. And we can give that gift to people in our church. Say, you know what? I think you have more potential than you think you do. I think God can do something great. Why don't you come and be part of this ministry? Why don't you come and do this thing with me? I think that's one of the best gifts we can give to each other in our church. And that's the I see in you. These are transforming moments. I remember Doc had many of these with me. When I was 18 years old, just graduated high school, I remember sitting in his office. I don't even know where it was, maybe Lund Road, I guess. And he said, hey, my dad's going on vacation. What do you think about preaching Sunday morning at his church? I was like, really nervous, but honored and excited at the same time. And he gave me that opportunity. He called that out of me. It may be the greatest ministry regret of his life because now he's stuck with me. But, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. But it's moments like that where it made me want to be better. It made me want to develop the gifts that God put in me. It made me want to stretch in a way that was beyond me. And that's what permission giving is all about. It's looking at the people that God has sent here that are gifted, that can make a difference for his kingdom. And it's being people that say, as leaders, we are on the hunt for talent. We are on the hunt to call out the potential in the people of our church and help unleash them for God's kingdom. With me on that, church? All right, here's the third one. This is what he calls disciple multiplying. And this is just the practice of now actually we engage these people, we invite them in, and now we begin to disciple them. We begin to pour into them and invest in them. Many years ago, John Maxwell, he wrote this simple way to develop another leader. And it's these five steps. I'll read it to you quickly. He says, number one, You start with this. I do, you watch, we talk. Does this sound familiar to anyone? I do, you watch, we talk. Hey, I see in you this great potential to lead life groups. Come be part of my life group. Be a co-leader. Watch me do it. And let's talk about it. What went well? What didn't go well? Why do you think? And you just have a conversation. Then you say, I do, you help, we talk. Hey, next week we're going to do this life group again, but why don't instead of me opening it, you open it with the icebreaker, and then I'll run it from there. And let's talk about how it goes. I do, you help, we talk. Third step, you do, I help, we talk. So now you're going to lead most of it. I'll do the icebreaker. You do the other 90%, and let's talk about it and learn and continue to grow. Then number four, you do, I watch, we talk. Now here's the keys to the Corvette. You're going to go out and take it for a spin, and I'll watch and we'll talk about it. And then number five, you do, someone else's watches. Now you begin that process with someone else. Now, that is so simple that it's easy to overlook. But here's what I guarantee. If we all did that, it'll be a game changer for our church. If we all do that, if you do that with one person, if I do that with one person, that has the potential to change the capacity and opportunity of our church. Now, here's the second thing I want you to think about. Is that not only do we want to help empower people for ministry, but we want to disciple them for Christ. One of the things we always say is that every ministry is an opportunity to disciple someone. We don't use people for tasks, but we use tasks to develop people, right? And so when people are part of our ministry, we want to make that experience something that grows them in Christ. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do. The people that you see potential in, the people that you're going to invest in, the person, what is one way this next year you can meet with them on some kind of regular basis and help them grow in their faith in Christ? Help them grow spiritually. Now, in our breakout sessions, if you just look in your pamphlet real quick, there's a leader's resource list. Just pull that out, if everybody sees that. And in this list is different books that are ordered by topic there: spiritual development, leadership development, introduction to the Bible, and kind of Christchurch, church-oriented topics. And each of these can be a great study to do with someone else. A great book to go through and talk with them and use it sort of to have like a discipling conversation. And when we go to the breakouts that you signed up for, all of those are meant to help equip you to do that. So to give you kind of some real nuts and bolts type stuff about how to lead someone through a book in one of these topics. Because it's a way that we invest in the spiritual lives of our people. And so I want you to ask yourself this question. These questions, I'm sorry. Who are you going to invest in? What will you study together? And what will that rhythm look like? Who is it? And you can pray about it. You can think about it. What will you study? And we're going to help you, give you some resources, some practical ideas around that. And then what will your rhythm be? Will you meet just maybe every other week or once a month or whatever? That's disciple multiply. It's just about having a strategy to invest in them. Make sense so far? All right, number four. Here's Ferguson's fourth step. He calls it gift activating. And this idea is that as we raise up new leaders in our church and we empower people for ministry, it's about just taking a moment to acknowledge their giftedness and so to sort of commission them and bless them in that. And to be honest, when I first read this, I thought, I don't really get that step. It seemed a little bit weird to me. But as I began to think about it, it made more and more sense. Because what he's saying there is he's saying as you invest in someone, and again, if maybe it's a life group co-leader, and now you've spent some time with them, you've discipled them, you feel good, they feel ready to go, you feel like they're ready to go. He said, instead of just sending them out to the wolves, take a moment and pray over them before the group. Take a moment and sort of like publicly acknowledge them somehow and just say, man, they are ready to lead. They're going to take this next hill, and you sort of put your blessing on them. And that might seem like a really, really small thing, but I don't think it is, because it creates a moment where they feel a sense of responsibility and ownership before others and God, and it's also a way that we celebrate this core idea, this core value of making disciples, right? Because what you celebrate is what you will repeat. And every time we stand up someone or you pray God's blessing and say, they're going to lead this life group and this next season, they're going to lead this ministry team, and we're going to pray over them, we're going to ask God to use them powerfully. And when you do that in front of others, people step back and say, man, that's a pretty awesome thing. Maybe that could be me one day. I guess that's what this church is about, is getting people involved and helping them grow and take ownership and use their gifts and make a difference for the kingdom. So that's all it is. It's very simple, just creating that moment to affirm their gifts and send them off in the right way. And here's the last one, number five, kingdom building. And this is just the way that we really keep score. It's defining success by what you release and send out, Ferguson says. Not by what you gather and acquire. Now, this is just important for us to think about in our own leadership. How do we define success for ourselves? Is it just doing a great job in our ministry? We definitely want to do that. But Ferguson says a better way is to say, how many people have I raised up? I believe this, disciples make disciples. Life groups should make life groups. Churches should make churches. This is what Jesus has called us to, right? I think the greatest success is not for me to preach a great sermon, but to help develop other great preachers. See the difference? It's not just what I can do, but it's about empowering other people to be successful in what God has called them to do. So this year, I want you to think about your own ministry and just use that as a way to gauge your own success. Say, I will feel a sense of success if I raise up one new leader. That's what my target is. That's what I'm counting a win. And yes, I want to do everything I do well. I want to do it with the excellence of Christ. I want to lead my team well. But this is what my target is. One new person. And that's what I will celebrate and pray for and seek and thank God. Make sense, church? Yeah. So that's the hero maker. And again, check that book out if you want to read it. But let me just end with this. Just imagine for a second what God could do in our church if we were laser focused on making disciples. If we really refocused our heart and our time and our energy as leaders on that. Just think about it for a second. How many new campuses could be started? How excellent would our services be as we raise up new worship leaders and new preachers and new people in our family ministry and our student ministry and our welcome teams and all that? How many people might be sent out from our church to do amazing work in the community if we could help them see their gift, lean into it, and use it for Christ? How would the community be changed around us if we were able to get really, really good at this? And how might God win just a new generation to himself? How many kids right now in our church and maybe in our Ignite and student ministries, how many of them is God going to call to ministry, call to use an amazing gift if we dial this focus in as leaders? What might God do? It could be as big as we can imagine, couldn't it? Because we've seen what God did with 12, well, 11-ish, you know, not really that impressive dudes. We've seen what he's done. And imagine what he can do with a group of us. And all it takes is that intention in our hearts and in our minds and that focus on people, making disciples. Church, we can do it. You can do it. And not only will it change other people's lives, but it will change ours as well. And Jesus said, hey, I am always with people who are making disciples. He said, I'm always with people who are making disciples. He said, to the end of the age, I will be with you if that's what you're about. And let's be a church that is about that in a fresh way this year. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord. Father, I think about my own life, and I thank you that people invited my family to this church. I thank you, Lord, that people invited me to believe in the gospel. I thank you, Lord, that people invited me into ministry and gave me opportunities that were beyond me. And Father, I look back at all that, and I see how powerfully that shaped so much good in my life. And I praise you and honor you for that. Now, Lord, I pray we could give that gift a million times over to the people in our church and the people in our community. Help us, Lord, to be disciple makers. Father, help us to get focused on that mission in this new year. Help us to own it and take it serious. And Father, we pray that your presence would help us in it, your presence would be with us in it, and Christ would be glorified through it all. And we ask this in Jesus' good name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.